Good Wednesday. Today is July the 9th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, fertilizer prices making headlines once again. Not as much changes in recent months, but definitely changes from a year ago. We're going to take a look at what some of those are and the geopolitical aspects that are playing into price changes after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Well, fertilizer prices making agricultural headlines once again as those prices continue to trend higher as we wrapped up the month of June and moved into December. However, more fertilizers were lower in price compared to where they were in recent weeks. Now, no fertilizer price was considered higher or lower by a substantial amount as we look at how DTN ranks their fertilizer. That's anything over 5% or more. But five fertilizers did have slightly higher prices. DAP had an average price of $810 a ton. MAP came in at $846 a ton, while potash was at $481 a ton. 10340 had a nationwide average price of $672 a ton, while UAN32 came in at $500 a ton. Now, it's interesting to note UAN32 is more than $500 a ton for the first time since we saw it in the fourth week of May of 2023. That week, it came in at $509 a ton. Now, three fertilizers were slightly lower than the prior month. Urea with an average price of $656 a ton, anhydrous at $770 a ton, and UAN28 at $413 a ton. So as we break this all down on a price per pound unit nitrogen basis, that average urea price is $0.71 a pound unit nitrogen, anhydrous at 47 cents a pound, UAN28 at 74 cents a pound, and UAN32 at 78 cents a pound. Now, seven fertilizers are higher compared to this time where they were in 2024. MAP is 3% higher. 10340 is 5% more expensive. DAP up 7%. Anhydrous 9% more expensive. UAN28 is 20% more expensive, while UAN32 is 29% more expensive. And urea came in 30% higher this year than it was a year ago at this time. Now, if we look at geopolitical impacts, even with a ceasefire currently in place in that Israel-Iran conflict, the global fertilizer market could still see some negative effects. That according to a recent report from the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association, nearly 31% of global urea exports, 18% of global ammonia exports, and 15% of the MAP and DAP are shipped from fertilizer producers in the Arabian Gulf west of the Strait of Hormuz. The narrow stretch of water between Oman and Iran is the only route for a large amount of production for countries west of the strait, including Saudi Arabia, according to that report. Now, Iran has a history of restricting or blocking ship traffic through the strait during times of conflict, which is making fertilizer and energy markets justifiably nervous. There have been fertilizer production impacts as Iranian ammonia production has stopped, and so have Egyptian urea and Jordanian potash. Both those countries source natural gas from Israel. So far, the Strait of Hormuz remains open, but if the traffic is reduced or stopped, shipments would dramatically amplify the impact on nitrogen, phosphorus, and sulfur markets if Iran makes the strategic decision to change the operational status. Stay tuned, we'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now and take a look at the latest developments in the progress regarding USDA's effort to combat highly pathogenic avian influenza in poultry and egg-laying flocks. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
Back in February, USDA announced a five-pronged strategy to address highly pathogenic avian influenza and mitigating egg prices and supplies both short-term and long-term. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins presented the first update of this strategy in March in a call with reporters, indicating,
"We intend to hold regular check-ins with the public to update on the progress of our plan."
The second update in late June included efforts on biosecurity assessments and commercial poultry operations, a measure expanded upon in March from pilot projects.
These assessments, which were previously available on a limited basis, have been extremely successful in improving biosecurity on individual premises and preventing the introduction or spread of avian influenza.
The June update notes over 900 biosecurity assessments to date and a reminder of resources available to help producers prepare for fall wild bird migration. USDA is covering the full cost of assessments and supporting part of costs for biosecurity improvements on farms. The Agriculture Department offers two free voluntary biosecurity assessments to help poultry and egg producers get ahead of potential high-path avian flu threats. One assessment covers wildlife risk mitigation, the other on general biosecurity improvements. Another aspect of the HPAI strategy, indemnity payments to affected producers.
Effective February 27th, we increased the indemnity rate for layers by 2.41 times, which amounts to $16.94 per head to provide critical relief to our farmers.
Since February, almost $70 billion in payments have been made to directly support layer flocks. Innovation as a key part of addressing HPAI threats in poultry and egg-laying flocks was announced in March by the Secretary through
up to $100 million available for a funding opportunity to support projects on avian influenza prevention, therapeutics, vaccines, and research.
Applications closed last month for the HPAI Poultry Innovation Grand Challenge funding opportunity. 416 proposals were received, with applicants requesting a total of $793 million in funding. USDA expects awards to be finalized by this fall. Finally, stabilization of supply and lowering of egg prices is in part occurring through an increase of imports, primarily from five nations, and doubling the number of import receiving facilities for shell table eggs for breaking and pasteurization. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.